Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
One pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez is toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
Welcome to Wednesday on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers. Here's Heath Cummings. We're here without Adam Azer, so I'm hosting today. Heath, how do you feel about that?
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
I'm welcoming myself back.
Oh, welcome back.
I haven't been here in almost a week.
I thought it was peaceful.
I'm sure you enjoyed it. This is going to be much more fun, though.
Why?
It's just you're hosting, which is always fun for everyone involved, and I'm back, which is more fun. So it's gonna be great.
I'm looking forward to it. We've got quite a bit to talk about from Tuesday night, and I was told by Adam Azer that we can't spend too much time talking about Chris Sale, but we'll get to that shortly. We'll talk about some players that it might be time to drop. Big injury news, Blake Snell on the DL. We'll talk about that, or IL, sorry. And a couple of other interesting pitching performances. But first, what's your biggest standout from Tuesday night?
I'm going to go with Mike Minor. He got off to a terrible start to the season. I think gave up 6 runs in his first start against the Cubs and has been just fantastic ever since. Complete game shutout against the Angels on Tuesday night. 3 straight starts now of at least 7 innings, no more than 2 runs allowed in any of those starts. And he is someone who we got a little bit excited about last year from time to time. I think he's 56% owned right now. When a guy's going this well, I think he needs to be close to 100% owned until we see how real it is.
How high are you going to move him in your rankings based on what we've seen so far?
I just did a massive rankings update yesterday. So I hesitate to do another one today, but he looks to me like a borderline top 50 guy. Like, we've got these guys right around, and I'll just look at the range. Because there's this group of pitchers in the low 50s. Domingo Germán, Carlos Rodon, Brad Keller. I think he belongs right in that range of guys that we're not really sure if they're going to be good, but we need to roster them because it looks like they might.
Would you drop Mike Foltynewicz for him?
It's hilarious because that group of pitchers I gave you are just ahead of the injured pitchers that are almost back group, or maybe Foltynewicz is almost back. He may just stay in the minor leagues. They keep pushing him back. I think I'd rather have Minor than Folty, but full disclosure, I've been the lowest guy on Mike Foltynewicz since throughout his breakout.
What about Tuki Toussaint? I know you're a big fan of his.
I would rank him slightly ahead of Toussaint. I would have a hard time dropping Toussaint.
Okay. We're going to get into more of yesterday's action. My standout, Colin McHugh, for that crazy matrix play that he made. It was almost the really wrong thing to do, like trying to dodge backwards from a pitch coming at, or a ball
coming. Catch it. Why are you ducking out of the way?
Well, or just go forward, which is where your momentum's carrying you. He almost got like nailed in the face.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
But it was an amazing play. It was incredible. So that was my Tuesday.
And he was very good also. So it fits multiple ways. He did throw 6 shutout innings.
He's been awesome all year. How high have you ranked him?
He is not yet starting pitcher eligible. So I have him right in the same Brad Keller range in my RP rankings. So I do think he probably deserves a little bump up now and needs to be in the 40 range. I still have some question marks about how many innings he's going to throw and whether at some point they'll say, okay, Colin McHugh's going to go to the bullpen for 2 weeks now and Brad Peacock's going to be a starter.
Sure. Adam's not here, but we'll talk about what happened in Yankee Stadium last night because it was a fascinating performance between 2 guys who were both coming into the game struggling, Chris Sale and James Paxton. One of them left the game still struggling, but there might have actually been some positive signs for Chris Sale last night. He gave up 4 earned runs in 5 innings of work, 7 hits, 6 strikeouts, season high, 12 swinging strikes, and averaged 95.5 miles per hour with his fastball. Was this a good start or a bad start for Chris Sale?
I think it's definitively a bad start when you go 5 innings and give up 4 runs.
I think he lowered his ERA.
He probably did lower his ERA. He definitely increased his strikeout rate. But I do think, like, if you were on the I'm either buying or holding Chris Sale train, this makes you feel just a little bit better. Because before, we were doing it mostly because he'd been so good in the past. There was nothing he was showing us that made us think he was good this year. At least in this start, we got a little bit of encouragement. And it's just worth noting that this Yankees lineup he was facing was not the A-team Yankees. It was not the B-team Yankees. This was like the D-minus team Yankees. So that's not a good thing. But no, I was mild. It was a moral victory is the way I put it in the waiver wire column. There was a moral victory.
Yeah, he averaged 95.5. He was hitting 97, 98 with the fastball. Only one swinging strike on 33 fastballs. Barely threw the changeup yesterday. Still a lot of command problems. Still too many balls left inside the strike zone. Gave up 9 batted balls that were hit at least 95 miles per hour. I mean, to a certain extent, he sort of got BABIP to death, but even then, you look at his season, and it's a 310 BABIP, so...
Right.
I'm still just kind of... I'm not doing anything.
You won't buy, sell... Well, if you have him, you have to do something.
Yeah. No, I don't.
You're going to leave him in your starting lineup?
No, but I wouldn't have
started... You're benching
him. But I wouldn't have started him today.
You're benching him.
Right, but I mean in terms of roster.
But you won't sell him.
No, and I won't buy him. I'm paralyzed with fear about Chris Sale.
Now you got to do something.
What about James Paxton? Threw 110 pitches, 20 swinging strikes, 12 strikeouts, 8 innings, and not. I mean, it's been a not great Boston lineup so far, but we still think this is one of the most talented lineups in the league. They didn't have Andrew Benintendi yesterday. He's missed a couple games with a foot injury, but against a left-handed pitcher, that wouldn't change the outlook of this lineup so much. No more worries about James Paxton?
Paxton's one of the guys that when I was doing my rankings update yesterday, I realized I had not moved him up or down the entire season. And I thought, well, he's pitching tonight. I'll just wait and I won't move him up or down. I'm still not going to move him up or down. He's my 14th starting pitcher. I think on a per start basis, he's probably going to be close to an ace most of the time. I do still have concerns about is he ever going to throw 180 innings in the major leagues? And I think you have to have concerns about the home runs pitching at Yankee Stadium when he's always had problems with home runs or had problems in the past at times with home runs. So this was a very encouraging start. I'm not changing my opinion of James Paxton. I hadn't changed it when he was bad.
Yeah, 3.91 ERA for the season, 3.18 FIP, 31 strikeouts in 23 innings. So it really is the home runs and whether he can keep those to just – it's always going to be a problem because he's a fly ball pitcher, but if he can keep them to a relatively normal rate, he's going to be pretty good. We'll bring up one more guy who definitely wasn't in the James Paxton, Chris Sale discussion before the season, but maybe putting himself in there now. I know you've got Tyler Glasnow near your top 20, but not inside of it, right?
In a night of weird starts, this was another weird start for Tyler Glasnow because I looked, I think, in the fourth inning, and he's going up against the Orioles. Great matchup. He's been dominant. And in the fourth inning in this game, he'd given up 7 hits and 2 runs and had 1 strikeout and somehow got to the seventh, didn't walk anybody again, which is fantastic. It's kind of weird to pitch against the Orioles and have 3 strikeouts over 7 innings for a dominant starting pitcher. But yeah, he's part of that group of starting pitchers that I've moved right to the precipice of the ace tier.
Yeah, 7 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 strikeouts, no walks. Got through 7 innings on 87 pitches. I believe he hasn't thrown more than 90 pitches in a start so far. So here's our email of the day, and it has to do with both Tyler Glasnow and Chris Sale.
Oh, no. No.
Joe. That's who wrote this email in. Sorry, I was...
Don't do this to us, Joe.
Hey, guys.
I don't want to say this.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Listen every day. I mean, you kind of have to answer his question now that he loves the show.
I'm glad you listen every day, Joe. Thank you.
I was curious if you could take a couple minutes and really dissect Tyler Glasnow. Is he this year's Blake Snell? Would you sell high, buy high? Has he faced an easy schedule? Another aspect he's noticed so far among fantasy baseball people, he's a real popular sell candidate to try to go get one of the struggling aces. In years past, selling him for a Kluber, Snail, Greinke, Buehler, Nola, etc. would be a no-brainer. But if it really is a breakout for him, is it easier said than done? And what about Sale for Glasnow?
I think he could be this year's Blake Snell. I'm not ready to say that he is this year's Blake Snell. I don't think his ceiling is quite as high as what Snell's is. but I'm pretty much all in. I'm buying high. Now, at the same time, I would sell him for one of the struggling aces.
Any one of them?
There's not
Bueller, Nola, Kluber, Sale, Greinke. You would trade him for Greinke?
I would trade him for Greinke.
You would trade him for Sale right now?
I don't want to do that. That's what I Answer knew was question. Coming. I would. If somebody sent me Chris Sale for Tyler Glasnow, yes, I would accept it.
Okay.
The one that I am a little concerned about, that's the closest to him in the rankings, is Walker Bueller. Just because I had concerns about Walker Bueller in August and September, and now he's not been very good in April. And so I don't know if I'm getting 2 to 3 months of a very good starting pitcher. And you just have to assume Hyunjin Ryu is going to come back. Somebody else is going to come back. And they're going to say, okay, Walker, it's your turn for the IL. Just for a couple weeks.
Sure. Through 4 starts, 24 innings, at least 6 innings in 3 of his 4 starts. The only one he didn't was 5 innings of 1 run. On his first start against Houston, his toughest matchup of the season. The schedule's been a little light so far. Last 3 starts at San Francisco, at Chicago White Sox, and versus Baltimore. Not exactly a murderer's row. He has 24 strikeouts in 24 innings. Only 3 walks. That's the incredible thing. 1.13 ERA, 0.88 whip. This was a guy who couldn't find the strike zone for most of his time.
And we talk about how zone percentage doesn't really correlate with walk rate. But for a guy like him that kind of has trouble with that, I do think it's encouraging that he's up over 50% of his pitches in the strike zone for the first time. He's actually at 58, which might be too much. But with his stuff, it might work.
Yeah, this was something that I pointed out in a piece I wrote on Monday on CBSSports.com, where if you look at the strike zone map for him, it's not that he's necessarily always pitching in the strike zone, but when he's missing out of the strike zone, it's where you would want him to. It's fastball high, curveball low, and there's not a lot of missing east or west, I guess, to the sides of the plate. It's been mostly vertical, and that's what you would hope for with a guy like him who has that fastball, has that big curveball. So I've been really impressed with what we've seen. I don't know if he's an ace yet, but I'm certainly...
So you're not doing anything with Chris Sale at all, but if you have Chris Sale and someone sends you Tyler Glasnow and no other pieces,
the good news is I don't have Chris Sale anymore.
That's not the question.
I think you would probably have to take that deal.
You would take Glasnow?
No, I would take Sale.
Okay,
but I wouldn't feel great about it.
No.
Let's talk about some of the big news from Tuesday. Blake Snell was placed on the 10-day IL with a fractured fourth toe. Was trying to move something.
Least important. That's your ring toe, right?
Yeah,
when you wear your toe ring at the beach, you put it on that toe.
Why is that relevant?
It's your ring toe.
Do you wear toe rings?
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, he was moving something in his bathroom, apparently, after taking a shower and dropped a huge piece of marble on his toe. So,
yeah.
But looks like he might only miss 1 start as a result of this, so that's good news. Greg Bird was placed on the injured list with a left plantar fascia tear. Will be in a walking boot for 2 weeks. Safe to say. I mean, you probably should have dropped Greg Bird before this, but...
And that's why I said it was the Yankees' D-minus lineup and not their F lineup, because Greg Bird wasn't in it.
Mike Tauchman did start. Yankees acquired him from the Rockies just before the season. He went 2-for-4 with a home run. He'll probably see a little more playing time with Greg Bird out. Cody Bellinger was out of the lineup with a knee injury yesterday, but he did appear in the on-deck circle late in the game. Would have come in as a pinch hitter if the opportunity had come up, so looks like it's not that serious. Andrew Benintendi missed his 2nd straight game with a foot injury. Any concerns there at this point?
Not yet.
Any concerns about his performance yet?
Nope.
Blake Swihart was DFA'd by the Red Sox. That one's sort of interesting because he's a...
Catcher.
A catcher who... presumably still has some potential. At least that's the way he gets talked about.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the track record, he basically hasn't been good at any point since like 2014, but he could probably be a low 700s OPS catcher if he catches on somewhere and gets regular playing time. There are probably a lot of teams out there who could use a flyer.
The problem is he's not very good as a defensive catcher either, right?
No, he's not considered to be.
So you're not a good hitter and not a good catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he ends up somewhere where he gets regular playing time, he'll be worth looking at in a two-catcher league, but not someone you run out and get. Hyunjin Ryu is expected back in the rotation within a week. He threw a 40-pitch, quote, aggressive bullpen session yesterday, so that's great news. Doesn't look like this groin injury is as serious as the one he suffered last year, which was the initial diagnosis. That's great to hear. Is he must-start when he's healthy?
Yeah, I've got him on several DLs right now because I couldn't believe he was available in the 20th round of some of our drafts. This is bad news for Julio Urias, most likely. It sounds like he'll be the first to go out, unless the Dodgers may find someone else to put on the IL in the next 5 days.
Shohei Ohtani will not require a minor league rehab assignment. He's going to start facing live batting practice in the next week or so.
I saw that news blurb, and I kind of feel like it should read, Shohei Ohtani will not be accepting a minor league rehab assignment. Shohei Ohtani does not want to ride buses.
It could be that. So he's going to take live batting practice in the next week or so. If he's available anywhere as a DH, is he a must-add now that he's on the road to returning?
Yeah, for sure.
What are your expectations?
Not quite as good as he was last year, but I think he'll hit some home runs, steal some bases, be a top 100 hitter.
Okay. Tyler O'Neill was placed on the injured list with an elbow ulnar nerve subluxation.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound good. Apparently he injured it, making that throw that Scott and Adam were making fun of yesterday. So
they were making fun of an injured man.
Apparently so.
No compassion with those two.
Do we expect Jose Martinez to get more playing time?
I think he'll get more playing time. I don't know that he'll still get regular playing time. They still need Dexter Fowler to disappear.
Yeah, Fowler's having a weird season because he has like a 360 on base percentage so far, but he's basically doing nothing else.
Lots of singles.
That's good.
And some walks.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about a little bit of rankings before we go to a break. We mentioned it a little earlier, but Colin McHugh is not starting pitcher eligible. He needs one more appearance. Where exactly would you put him at your starting pitcher rankings?
And there are a couple of guys like this.
We're going to get to them.
We're going to get to those guys too. Okay. Like, I assume Brandon Woodruff is one of them. McHugh, I would put at 56.
Seems a little low to me.
I think it could be 10 spots low. Like you get up into the 40s and you've got, would you put him ahead of Matthew Boyd?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay. Because Boyd's been better than he has.
He has been better than McHugh, but McHugh's been awesome so far.
He's been very good, and I would accept that maybe he should be in the low 40s. I wouldn't be able to put him ahead of Yu Darvish.
Sure.
Who I have at 41.
That seems fair.
I still like Trevor Richards a little bit better, who I have at 42.
I think they're very similar.
But yeah, in that 45 to 55 range.
What about Brad Peacock? He should be back in the rotation in another week or so. Who knows how long that'll last this time around. Where would you put him once he's starting pitcher eligible?
He's going to be right around 60 because I don't expect him to stay. Like, I think it's going to be a situation like this where he does a little bit of bouncing around. And I don't know how, when he's doing that, it seems less likely he's going to give you 7 innings as a starter. It may be a lot of 5-inning starts, which does cap the upside. It's kind of like with Chris Paddock. He's been awesome so far, but he doesn't really rank that high. It's hard to get wins when you go 5 innings and you don't get any of those points.
Julio Urias probably in the same range once he becomes starting pitcher eligible, or a little lower because there's less certainty about the role.
I'm probably too much of a Urias believer, and so I would have him a couple of spots higher than Peacock. It hasn't clicked for him yet, but I still think there's a chance that he goes to the bullpen or the minor leagues for a month and then comes up and then is just awesome for a couple months.
He represents kind of an interesting philosophical question when you're ranking. When you move Julio Urias into your starting pitcher ranking, are you ranking him, like, knowing that he'll be in the rotation for however long, are you ranking him where you think he'll be then, or are you factoring in the fact that he might be pulled out of the rotation, and are you going to drop him when he gets pulled out of the rotation?
It's a combination. Like, I know the question you're asking. I'm not ranking him as if I think he's going to finish 62nd in points over the rest of the season. But I'm also not ranking him as high as I think he might be a top 40 starting pitcher for the time he's a starting pitcher. I think it's somewhere in between those two things.
Where would you rank Craig Kimbrell if and when he signs. And it does sound like he's getting closer to making a decision. There's been a lot of reports over the last couple of days just about Craig Kimbrell in general. So if he ends up signing, let's say the Braves, who are a good but not potential, maybe not great team.
Yeah, I'd probably put him 7th or 8th at relief pitcher. He's not going to go ahead of Brad Hand for me, but the rest of those guys have all got just a little bit of question mark. I would expect he's going to need a little bit of time to get sharp, but he'll be one of the best closers in baseball once he is.
Where would you rank Jeremy Jeffress if he ends up closing for the Brewers? He came off the IL yesterday after dealing with shoulder issues in the spring.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get every save, even once that happens. And it sounds like they want to get him in low leverage situations and really work him into that role. It kind of sounds like they still have some questions, even though he said Jeffress says he feels really good. I'd see him right around 13, maybe just ahead of Wade Davis.
He was not great on his rehab assignment.
No.
So a little bit concerning there. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get to more Tuesday's action, talking about a lot of aces, potential aces, maybe no longer aces. So we'll be right back.
True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
All right, let's talk about some aces who are pretty concerning right now. Steven Strasburg, he did have an RBI double yesterday, but against a not great Giants lineup, gave up 4 earned runs in 6 innings, 6 hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts, but he gave up 3 home runs. He now has a 5.40 ERA, 5 home runs in 22 and 2/3 innings on the season. What's your level of concern with Steven Strasburg? Did you move him down yesterday?
No, okay. Because he was pitching that night, and I thought, I'm not going to move him down yet. I still don't think I'm probably, like, the problem is he's pretty close to the back of the ace tier for me, as it was, because of injury concerns and because he has had a little bit of ups and downs. But I'm not ready to move him behind guys like Jose Berríos, Tyler Glasnow, Shane Bieber, which is kind of the next tier of starting pitchers. So I still feel pretty confident that Strasburg's going to be okay. I don't expect him to have a 24% home run to fly ball ratio all year, and the home runs have really been the worst thing about him. He's still striking out quite a few batters. The control's still been okay. I'm mostly not concerned. I'd put him at a 3 on the worryometer.
That's not the game we're playing.
That's what I just did, though.
Are you more concerned about Steven Strasburg or Jack Flaherty, who was chased after 2 2/3 innings? Granted, it was Milwaukee Brewers and God-level Christian Yelich. He gave up 9 hits, 5 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. He now has a 4 ERA and has only thrown 18 innings in 4 starts.
Well, that's the really fun part is he's now made 4 starts, and one of our emails alluded to this earlier. Schedule matters so much this time of year. And he's made 2 of his 4 starts have been at Miller Park.
Yeah.
He's gone 7 innings and given up 9 runs in those 2 starts. He's made 2 other starts at home against the Dodgers and Padres, 11 innings, 14 strikeouts, 1 earned run. So I'm a little disappointed in that I was hoping Flaherty was going to take a step this year to a new level. I don't think being bad at Miller Park precludes him from being a borderline ace, because really it's only the aces that I would trust at Miller Park against that lineup, and even some of them I don't feel very good about in that park. So I don't really have concern. The positive for him, he's only walked 4 batters in those 18 innings.
Yeah, that would have been the concern for me. And so something that I look for early in the season is, when you're either struggling or when you're doing really well, better than expectations. I look for, are you struggling in the way that we would have thought you would have struggled? And for Flaherty, it would have been control, and that hasn't been an issue.
It's just been the Brewers.
Yeah, and even that matchup against the Dodgers, that's a really tough matchup no matter where you're pitching, and he threw six shutout innings. So less concerned about Flaherty than Strasburg?
I had Strasburg ranked ahead. I still have Strasburg ranked ahead. I'm less concerned about Flaherty justifying that ranking than I am Strasburg justifying his top 15 ranking.
Okay, let's talk about some other maybe aces being maybe aces. Is that a good...
I'm just so mad at you right now.
Why?
Because I made reference to Shane Bieber. Uh-huh. You know how I feel about Shane Bieber. Some of these names and performances are no better than what Shane Bieber did, who you said was not noteworthy last night. And he wasn't spectacular.
We'll talk about Shane Bieber.
Okay, thank you.
I promise you. It's okay.
It's okay. I'm ready to talk about Jose Quintana now.
No, let's talk about Shane Bieber first. It's so important. He was going against God-level Seattle Mariners lineup. Six innings, one earned run allowed, five strikeouts, three walks for Shane Bieber. ERA sits at 171 right now. You were maybe the highest person on earth on Shane Bieber. You have him within your top 24 at starting pitcher, right?
He is currently, yes. He started the year at 30.
How are we feeling about him?
I feel fantastic. Now, there are two of his three starts. He has not struck out a batter per inning. One of them, he was absolutely dominant. But he has been everything that I was hoping it would be. This was really his first difficult matchup. He faced the Blue Jays in his first start, and then he was at Detroit. Seattle's been awesome. They did still hit a home run in this game, but not against him. I want the three walks. I wonder if that kind of goes back to what you were talking about at the beginning of the year. He does need to stay out of the strike zone just a little bit, and especially against an offense that's as hot as them, he may have been a little too much out of the strike zone last night, but he has been fantastic. He's been a little fortunate. He's not a below two ERA pitcher, but I still think he could be a below three ERA pitcher.
Here's something that I think is really positive about what Shane Bieber's done so far, and this was something that Alex Chamberlain, one of our contributors, wrote about before the season. Last year, Shane Bieber looked like the prototypical bad luck guy. Yep. Low FIP, high ERA. But what he pointed out was Bieber didn't put guys away well enough. He had really solid swinging strike rates. Slider looked like a great swinging strike pitch, but he still threw his four-seam fastball 55% of the time against righties with two strikes, 59% of the time against lefties. So far this season, he's lowered that to 44% against lefties. He's using his curveball as the main out pitch and 38% four-seam fastball usage with two strikes against righties. That, I think, can help fuel him going to the levels where we want him to be. So it's been a very encouraging start so far. What about Jose Quintana? Two excellent starts in a row, seven shutout innings again against the Marlins, seven strikeouts, no walks, six hits. Is he back?
We do have to give the asterisk. It's the Marlins. But
that's what I said.
Well, no. You said against the Marlins, but we need to clarify, like, you can't get too excited about a start against the Marlins. But that's now, it's 18 strikeouts over his last 14 innings, and he's given up no runs in those innings. So he was a guy I moved fairly early in the season down, just barely outside of my top 50, because he was so bad last year and was just horrible to start the year. A good example of why we shouldn't overreact too much. I will be moving him back up into that number 40 starting pitcher range. I don't know that he's back, but the strikeouts are very encouraging, and I think he had, even last year when he was bad, it was kind of surprising how many swinging strikes he was getting at times. So I still think there's really a pretty good chance that Quintana is a serviceable starter all year.
Quintana or Darvish?
I'm going to stick with Darvish, but they'll be all... No, I'm going to go with Quintana.
Yeah, it is funny. After two starts, he had a 10.29 ERA, looked disastrous. So really, it was one terrible start. Now he has a 3.43 ERA, 29 strikeouts in 21 innings, 7 walks. That's not great, but it's not terrible. He looks a lot better after two starts. Yep. It is a good example of...
Just don't move your ranking.
After two starts, there's still two more starts.
Yeah.
And then probably 28...
Two more after that.
...on that.
Yep.
So, you shouldn't overreact to two starts one way or the other. Max Fried, speaking of overreacting... Six innings, Two earned runs, three strikeouts, one walk. He is Adam Azer's favorite pitcher in the history of baseball.
Can we just trade him for Chris Sale?
I mean, yes, if we could get Chris Sale for Max Fried.
Well, we have to throw in Gary Sanchez.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the IL. We're not getting anything out of him anyway. I'm a little befuddled by Max Fried. He was pretty exciting last year just for a short stretch because of his strikeout potential. He throws very hard for a lefty. He has good stuff. He's got like 12 strikeouts in 19 innings this year.
And hasn't really had like exceptional strikeout numbers in the past either.
I said this on Twitter last night, and of course no one agreed. And I have it ranked this way. I would rather have Carlos Rodon.
I don't think that's absurd. And Carlos Rodon's another guy that if he were breaking out, this is what his breakout would look like. He's right. Throwing his slider just a ton. My thought with him was always he needed to increase the changeup usage. He might be just going the Patrick Corbin route.
I will just say if Max Fried is breaking out, this is not what it will look like.
Right.
He will not be really, really good with 5.5 K per nine.
How high have you moved Matthew Boyd up? Another seven innings versus Pittsburgh, seven strikeouts. Three earned runs this time, but I think that gives him four quality starts in a row to open the season. 2.96 ERA, 1.11 whip, 36 Ks and 24 and a third innings.
Well, just why don't you just help me out with this? Because I didn't move him yesterday.
Okay. At all.
I had moved him multiple times. He was all the way up to my number 40 starting pitcher, which is like 50 spots higher than I had him at the start of the year.
Sure.
I've never really liked Matthew Boyd. He has been so much better than any previous version of Matthew Boyd that we've ever seen. So would you rather have Matthew Boyd than Chris Paddock?
I'm the kind of person who tends to prioritize ERA and whip and rate stats when it comes to starting pitchers. And I would bet Chris Paddock's going to be better at those things. And I'll just, you know, let the innings figure themselves out. So I think I would rather have Paddock.
Would you rather have Paddock or
Boyd or
Boyd or John Gray? Who is another guy who was very good last night, or at least good.
Yeah, it was like a five strikeout, three walk game, I think.
Or Robbie Ray?
I think I'd rather have Boyd than Robbie Ray.
So you just think I need to move Robbie Ray down. Cole Hamels? That's the
tough one.
There's this range of starting pitchers that for me starts right around Miles Michaelis or Chris Archer, mm-hmm. which is 26, 27, and extends all the way down to like Yu Darvish with guys that I could see all of these guys being in my top 25 in like two starts. But I'm not really sure what to expect from any of them on a start-to-start basis.
That seems very fair. What about Joe Musgrove? He's been excellent to start the season, 22 and a third innings. 0.81 ERA, nearly a strikeout per inning, very few walks. He was excellent last night. Where are you sitting on Joe Musgrove?
He's moved up a lot in my rankings. He's up to 46 now, so not too far behind Matthew Boyd. I don't think there's the same upside, but he's looked very good. And again, a guy kind of like Mike Minor that we were excited about last year, got off to a slow start and then had some mixed results. But I think he could be a top 40 starting pitcher.
And he's another guy who has upped the slider usage largely at the expense of his fastball, which isn't a bad thing because he's got kind of middling velocity. So let's take Joe Musgrove. You don't like Max Fried. You seem to like Joe Musgrove. Let's take him as the cutoff. If he's available somewhere, are you dropping? Is it so? Next segment's called Time to Drop. Robbie Ray, Nick Pivetta, Steven Matz. Are you dropping Robbie Ray for Joe Musgrove?
I'm not. I've got this group of pitchers, and Ray and Pivetta are both in the group. Steven Matz is not. He was never ranked near those guys before.
He had been very good before.
He had been.
Last night's historically awful start.
Like one of the worst things anyone's ever done.
Fifth pitcher since 1893 to allow eight runs without recording an out in a start.
And in fairness to him, Ahmed Rosario should have recorded two outs. but made two errors in that same time period.
And he still gave up two home runs.
Right. He was very, very bad. But I feel like we should give Amez Rosario an ERA of like 27 just for that game.
So, yes, you would drop Steven Matz for Joe Musgrove.
100%.
Matz or Freed?
Freed.
Okay.
There are literally dozens of pitchers I'd take over Steven Matz.
All right, so Joe Musgrove or Robbie Ray?
I'm gonna stick with Robbie Ray. I don't think...
15 walks in 21 in the third innings, 26 strikeouts, 4.64 ERA.
He's been bad, and Adam is very happy with you for talking about how bad Robbie Ray is because Adam hates him. I don't think I have any teams where Robbie Ray is my worst pitcher, and somebody might disagree with that, but none of these guys that we're talking about have top 6 or 7 upside. Robbie Ray does. We've seen it.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually true. It's factually right.
Technically correct.
Yes, the best kind.
What about Nick Pivetta? You were really high on Nick Pivetta coming in, expecting the breakout, and he's been awful. 8.35 ERA, 16 strikeouts, 8 walks, and 18 in the third innings. Gave up 3 runs in 5 innings yesterday, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. Probably his best start of the season.
Yeah, he's had a couple of those, I think, 5-inning, 3-run things. And I think after his last start was that I wasn't dropping him until May 1st. I do have both Matthew Boyd and Joe Musgrove ranked ahead of him. So if they were available, honestly, I probably would have to. But I don't really want to.
I mean, the good news... Nobody's picking up Nick Pivetta right now.
That would help.
Yeah. I think I've dropped him in one league, and it's just understanding that nobody's likely to pick him up unless they just really have a roster spot to burn right now.
It's really sad.
Yeah. I don't know. He might just be like the new Ricky Nolasco.
We may see Jared Eichhoff in the rotation.
I believe he was called up yesterday.
He actually came in to pitch after they took out Pivetta.
He didn't do well, though, did he?
I do not know.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Let's talk about some tweets. First off, we're going to go with a non-baseball tweet because this is a topic that we love discussing. It's one of these one's gotta go tweets. We've got 5 options for Easter candy. One's gotta go. Jelly beans, Reese's peanut butter cups, the egg-shaped, Peeps, chocolate bunny, chocolate rabbit, I guess would just be,
right.
Or a Cadbury cream egg.
I am, like, a couple things. One, these are supposed to be difficult, and this one's not at all, because one of these things is literally like trash that should only be in the trash and should never be anywhere close to anyone's mouth, and especially not being stirred in anyone's tea.
See, I think there's 2 that are...
But also, I'm not the best person to ask these questions because I don't love candy that much. I would still say it's easily the Peeps that have got to go. I'd be happy to eat any of the other 4 things.
I have no interest in a Cadbury cream egg.
Have you ever had one?
Yes.
Okay. They're not great.
Yeah.
If 2 had to go, yeah. That's what I would say was the next one. But you don't know what's inside that bunny.
It's probably not.
It might be hollow.
It's usually hollow.
It could be hollow. There could be.
Or just it's just like a massive.
Like a gold coin.
Truffle.
A truffle. Yeah. Could be anything.
That'd be a lot.
But the Peeps got to go.
I agree.
They're
everybody but Scott would agree with that. Fill in the blank. Here's some more tweets. I went on Twitter last night. Fill in the blank. I'm panicking about blank. My answer, I don't have enough Yoan Moncada.
Yep.
Which is a little weird because I've been the biggest Yoan Moncada fan on the podcast. He hit 2 more home runs yesterday. He's hitting .331 with an OPS. Right around 10:30. What's something you're panicking about?
And I want to be clear, I'm not dropping him. Okay. People have asked me, so I'm not panic dropping him. I don't do that. But I'm panicking about Travis Shaw.
Okay.
It's like the strikeouts are out of control. There's only a couple extra base hits. He was dropped to 6th in the order yesterday. They're putting Moose in the 4-hole. And right now that makes sense because Shaw's been awful.
Yoan Moncada or Travis Shaw?
I believe I have Moncada ranked 1 spot ahead of Moustakas, and Moustakas ranked 1 spot ahead of Shaw. They're both, fun fact, all 3 of those guys are both second and third base eligible.
So you gotta keep it consistent. You gotta make sure that you're keeping consistent. Yes. All right, next one. I'm panicking about this one's from Collins Allison. Carlos Carrasco. How panicked should we be about Carlos Carrasco?
Another pitcher that has not yet moved in my rankings.
I believe he has a 1250 ERA.
Yeah, gave up like 72 runs against the Royals, which, I mean, understandable. But I'm not yet that concerned with him. I've not seen anything that, like, I don't think he's probably going to give up a 613 BABIP. A 613 BABIP so far this season.
Seems unlucky.
That's twice as many hits as he should have allowed.
Yeah.
And maybe he's not, I mean, he's not been as good as he should be, but he's not, like, you're not, you don't have to panic about him. He's okay.
At Jay-Z Thrash Null, I'm panicking about the Mets pitching staff, all of them. Can I hate drop Steven Matz?
100%.
What about the rest of the tweet?
I would not hate drop Jacob deGrom or Noah Syndergaard.
Seems fair.
I am not really concerned. First off, Jason Vargas is terrible. And his ERA is a football score.
I thought his whip was his ERA, and I was like, oh, Jason Vargas has been kind of good this year.
His ERA is a football score.
He has a 284 whip.
Yeah. I am okay dropping Matz. The only guy I'm really concerned about besides him is Wheeler, just because what he did last year was a little bit weird to me, and he's... The control's been terrible so far this season. 11 walks in 15 innings. I'm worried he might not be a top 40 starting pitcher. But Syndergaard and DeGrom will be fine.
He is throwing even harder this year.
Maybe he should take something off and try to throw a strike.
Yeah, 97.6 miles per hour with his fastball so far. Next one, Hispanic at the Disco. I'm panicking about Chris Bryant. Should he be?
I don't think so yet, but I'm a little bit concerned that we're not going to get the Chris Bryant bounce back that we were hoping for. But I also, I think he's going to be a lot better than he has been so far.
At Baseball Liker, I'm panicking about Aaron Nola.
No, I'm not. I'm not worried about
it. Not at all?
No.
Okay.
No concern.
That's interesting.
Are you?
No.
Okay.
But
I mean, most of these guys in the same range. Like I just told you, Carlos Carrasco's got like a 15 ERA, and I wasn't worried about him. I can't be worried about Aaron Nola. His ERA is almost twice as good.
Yes, 745. It's the walks. That's the only thing, because his control and his command have always been his calling card going back to college when he was a prospect.
Right.
And he does have 11 walks in 19 and a third innings. But at this point in the season, especially when it comes to a pitcher, and especially when it comes to an ace level pitcher, unless there's a physical reason to be concerned, it's really hard to be concerned. Like we said with Jose Quintana, two starts from now, Aaron Nola might have a 2.9 ERA.
Yeah, that'd be tough, but because he's four in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's two straight complete game shutouts.
Okay.
At Jeff Crisco, I'm panicking about Charlie Blackmon. Same with Chris Bryant. Maybe not going to expect the bounce back season.
Well, I think the thing is, and you made this point throughout draft season, that sometimes emphatically his bad season was still awesome.
Yes.
That maybe discounted the idea that his bad season at 32 could lead to a worse season as he turned 33. But we haven't really seen, like, the strikeouts have not gone up so far. He's not made, I guess, great contact, but I'm not particularly worried. Have the Rockies had like five home games so far?
That's the thing. He's played 17 games so far. He has 79 plate appearances, four games, 19 plate appearances at home, and he was great in that home series. So for me, no worry about Charlie Blackmon. And the last one, at Micro Jackson, I'm panicking about Fernando Tatis' strikeout rate.
I don't know that you should really be all that surprised about Fernando Tatis' strikeout rate. In Double A, he struck out like 28% of the time. He didn't play in Triple A. He was probably going to strike out a lot. When he is hitting the baseball, he's kind of crushing it. So I'm not worried. I'm more concerned about Eloy Jimenez than I am Fernando Tatis. And both of these guys, it's way too early to actually be concerned. Nothing has been shown to us for either one that makes you question the upside they possess.
All right, we're going to take one more break, come back, talk about some bullpen, the rest of the news and notes, a couple of hitters that we probably shouldn't be ignoring or maybe shouldn't be ignoring, and a little bit more to close out the show. We'll be right back.
Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.
All right, so let's talk about some bullpen stuff. And I think let's start with AJ Minter, who has just been really bad. Pretty much every appearance that he's made yesterday, two-thirds of an inning, two hits, one walk, one strikeout, one run allowed, came in a tie game, got the loss. Led to chants of, "We want Kimbrel,"
yeah,
from the Braves crowd.
That probably didn't feel good.
How long is AJ Minter going to be the Braves closer?
Well, I don't really get the indication that they're going to be the team that signs Craig Kimbrel, because I don't think he's going to accept a small fraction of what he's worth. He wants at least half of what he's actually worth, and I don't think the Braves will pay that. So it probably still depends on how long is Arodis Vizcaino, you know, on the DL or on the IL.
I'm kind of writing off Vizcaino at this
just
point.
Like done.
Well, because so far early in this season, they've been treating him with kid's gloves, and he still is dealing with shoulder.
Maybe they should make one of these 17 starters they have their closer.
That would actually be interesting. It would be interesting to see, like, Sean Newcomb in a starter's role. Or Touki Toussaint. I mean, I know we want to see him get a starter, but he has the stuff that could be really effective out of the bullpen.
I don't think, because Minter got such a late start on the season, I don't think he's probably yet in danger of losing this role, but I don't feel good about having him in my lineup.
All right, Ken Giles didn't blow a save, but did give up a run on two hits. He does have 12 strikeouts, 5 walks, 3 earned runs, and 8 innings. Are you concerned about Ken Giles at all?
No.
What about Shane Green? Gave up 2 runs for his first loss.
Good.
First 2 runs allowed.
Good.
He has a 2.0 ERA.
I was getting super annoyed by Shane Green being the best reliever in baseball, and I'm happy to see him come back to earth a little bit.
I believe he is still the best reliever in baseball. 8 saves. 2.0 ERA.
I think Roberto Ozuna has 7 saves.
Okay, he might be a little bit.
And has like a negative 4 FIP or something.
Well, you don't get fantasy points for FIP, Heath.
That's true.
Jose Alvarado did not get the save for the Tampa Bay Rays yesterday. Daniel Castillo did. However, Jose Alvarado did come in the 8th inning, got the hold, and he faced the top of the line.
Diego Castillo. Okay.
Yes. Alvarado came in, pitched a scoreless inning, no base runners allowed, faced the top of the Orioles lineup. That seems okay.
Yeah, I think this is going, we knew this was going to be a little messy. Alvarado has been better than anyone could have dreamed of him being so far this year. He might be the best reliever in baseball, just not in fantasy baseball. But he's got 4 saves, just a little bit over a tenth of the way through the season. So he's on a, like, if he gets 30, he's going to be awesome. Don't worry about it.
We saw a little glimpse of what the Pirates bullpen might look like in the event of a Felipe Rivero trade, and I believe that was one of Adam Azer's preseason predictions, that he'll be the closer for the Red Sox by July. So Felipe Rivero was unavailable. He threw 43 pitches on Sunday. He got Monday and Tuesday off. Keone Kella came in, blew the save. He has an 8.10 ERA.
Yep, that's what their bullpen will look like.
That's not super promising if you were hoping to grab a Pirates closer in the event of a trade. So we'll see if he can turn it around. Let's talk about a few more news and note items before we move on. Andrew Heaney could be back on a mound in 10 to 12 days. That's good news. It's kind of looking a little bit similar to what happened last year. Had the elbow scare right at the start of the season. Ultimately did end up able to pitch and pitch well. So we'll see. Is he someone worth stashing?
I don't really think so, because his pitching well was 180 innings, which is awesome for him, of a 4.15 ERA and a strikeout.
The peripherals were better than that.
Yeah, he had a 3.99 FIP. So
he's fine.
I'm not saying anything bad about Andrew Heaney, but he's going to have a hard... Like, if you told me he was starting tomorrow, he wouldn't be in my top 50 starting pitchers.
Okay. Brendan Nimmo left with neck stiffness yesterday. Gene Segura left with hamstring tightness. Doesn't look like either of those is a serious concern. Justin Turner missed yesterday's game after he fouled a pitch off his ankle during batting practice. He was also dealing with some hamstring tightness, so they're going to be super cautious.
He's old.
With Justin. He's old and has been brittle, so they'll be super cautious with him. Hopefully he'll be back in a couple of days. Ryan McMahon and David Dahl are both playing in extended spring training games in the minors, so that's a good sign as they come back. Garrett Hampson did homer and steal his first base yesterday. So that was good to see. I don't know if there will be enough time for him to lock down a starting
role. He needs to do that again probably today.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
And I think the bigger hope would be that they just kind of stop running Ian Desmond out there at some point and just let the young guys play.
I think Ian Desmond should send a bouquet to Chris Davis. Because if it wasn't for Chris Davis, everyone would really realize how bad Ian Desmond's been.
Yeah. Mike Foltynewicz will make his fourth rehab start this weekend. You alluded to it earlier. They just keep pushing it back. I'm not sure. I think two starts ago, he didn't throw that many pitches, but he got to 85 in the most recent start.
And they said he looked bad.
It's bizarre.
Well, I just wonder if they're thinking that what he did last year was real, and they keep waiting for him to look like that in the minor leagues, and he's not that good.
All right. Freddie Peralta was placed on the 10-day IL with a shoulder injury. Should be brief, but it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see him back in the rotation.
No, this felt more like he's bad.
And Aaron Hicks hit off a tee and threw on the field Tuesday, so that's a good sign. One of the first signs that he's actually been able to do baseball activities since coming back from that back injury. Still worth stashing?
Yeah, I would rather have Gregory Polanco, but I'd still be holding on to Hicks if I can.
Sure, I would expect Gregory Polanco's back before Aaron Hicks at this point, because he moved up to AAA over the weekend in his rehab assignment. He could be back by next week.
Yep.
I think I know your answer to the next two.
Good.
Should we keep ignoring Avisail Garcia? He went 2-for-4 with a home run yesterday and 3 RBIs, 14-for-31 with 7 RBI over his last 6 games.
This is one of those guys that I have just not thought about at any point in the season. So I have been ignoring him. But before I don't think he's very good.
Yeah.
And the one good year that he had was wholly unsustainable. And now he's in a much worse park than he was in the year that he had that good year, when he had a 390 BABIP. So I'm not really very excited. But he is playing every day, which I wasn't sure he was going to get with that lineup. We should stop ignoring him in 5 outfielder leagues.
And this one, we can probably safely ignore it outside of NL-only leagues, but Scott Kingery
was a monster last night.
Hit another home run yesterday. His OPS is up to 1,400 in limited opportunities this season. Let's not forget how excited we were about this guy a year ago. The fantasy baseball world.
Yes.
There was talk about him potentially being a top 100 guy towards the end of drafts last year. Power speed combination. Just no obvious path to playing time right now.
The key will be, does Gene Segura take a 10-day stint to rest his hamstring? Yep. Because he needs somebody to get hurt. And they've got guys on that team that could, Bryce Harper has missed time in the past. And I think just about anyone gets hurt. Kingery is the fill-in because he can play everywhere.
Yeah. I believe he was in the lineup yesterday because Rhys Hoskins was out.
Yes. Franco was at first and he was playing third. So he's the guy, but he needs a significant injury.
A hot take, bold prediction.
Okay.
Scott Kingery starting at third base by July.
I don't like that. Let's not poo-poo the one good month of Michael Franco's.
He's had several good months, career. But I'm not buying it. I went over some of the batted ball data on yesterday's show, but it's a lot of infield fly balls. He's not hitting the ball particularly hard, particularly consistently. It's been a lot of smoke and mirrors. So,
yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with what you said, but I like Michael Franco when he's doing well, so I don't want to hear anything about him losing his job.
All right, let's close out with a couple of emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSi.com if you want to get your email on the show. Jake from Germantown, or Brett from Germantown, Wisconsin, excuse me. Yelich for Trout in a points league. Who are you taking?
I'm still taking Mike Trout. Yelich has been awesome. I'm still taking Mike Trout.
But your expectations for Yelich have increased? Maybe. Another home run yesterday, 9 on the season.
It's ridiculous. Like, if he just stopped hitting so many home runs, I might be more likely to believe it. Which makes all kinds of sense, right? It's yeah. Too good to be true. No. He's like my number 5 outfielder. I like him a lot. I'd still rather have Bryce Harper.
Bill writes in, head-to-head points league, he has Benintendi, Hicks, Piscotty, Puig, and Winker. Jock Peterson was dropped and is available. Should he add Jock or stay put? Again, Benintendi, Hicks, Piscotty, Puig, Winkler.
Yeah, this is the problem. That's too many names.
Would you drop Hicks for Jock Peterson?
Not unless I desperately needed a starter right now.
Would you drop Piscotty for Peterson?
No.
Okay. And is it worth stashing Mike Clevenger on IL if he was dropped?
If you have an IL spot, 100% yes.
Okay. Gabriel, Leclerc just became available in my league, currently owns Cody Allen and Jordan Hicks. Should he drop Hicks for Leclerc?
I hate dropping Jordan Hicks, but I do think I'd rather have Leclerc. I was skeptical of Leclerc coming into this year, but you have no reason to not be skeptical of Jordan Hicks too. So sure. I'd rather have Leclerc, yes.
And last one, Nathan. How would you grade this trade? Adam Eaton and Joe Musgrove give up? Get Jose Abreu.
C+.
What about an alternative scenario where he gets Edwin Encarnacion?
C-.
Okay.
I'd still rather have Abreu.
Over Adam Eaton and Joe Musgrove.
I'm very skeptical how long Adam Eaton's going to be healthy and playing baseball.
That's why I think it's more like a B+. I think that would be a really good trade for this guy to do.
Yeah, I wish Abreu had like done something.
He's hitting the ball hard. He has been an exit velocity star.
I don't get any fantasy points for exit velocity.
Just like FIP.
Yep, just like FIP.
All right, that's going to do it for us on this Wednesday. Thanks so much for listening to Fantasy Baseball. Thanks for watching on our various video platforms. For Heath Cummings, for Adam Azer.
Or Scott White.
Or Scott White. I mean, yeah. Usually not here on Wednesday. But
almost never.
I'm Chris Towers. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.